Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours today. We've got somebody we're going to talk to in a minute. I'll introduce you. After that, between 1 and 2, we've got the Bendigo Bank of Wandon coming in talking about the scams. Very topical. We need to try and find out what they are and how we can protect ourselves. And then we've got Every Man's event in Yarra Junction this weekend, so we'll be talking to that. But first of all, it's my pleasure. We've wanted to talk to Crime Stoppers for quite some time, so it's my pleasure to introduce Stella Smith. Now, Stella is the CEO, so we can't get much higher than that. So welcome, Stella.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me on, and a pleasure to be here.
Terrific. Stella, there's a couple of things I'd like to get out of the way just before we actually get started, and it's about Crime Stoppers. First of all, when was it set up, and who actually set it up?
Sure. In 1987, Crime Stoppers came to Victoria. So originally it was in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, set up by a police member back then who was looking to solve a homicide and couldn't get any information from the local community. He knew that someone out there knew who'd committed that crime. And that police member came up with the idea of working with the local television station, offering anonymity and rewards, and Crime Stoppers was born then in New Mexico. It came to Victoria via Jeff Wilkinson, who was at that time the head of media for Victoria Police. He was doing a Churchill Fellowship and looking at crime prevention programs around the world to see what might help in Victoria. And he came back with the idea of Crime Stoppers for the state. And we haven't looked back since then.
Terrific. And we're going to talk about that very soon, about the sorts of the amount of calls you've had and all that. Stella, I want to put a myth to bed, if it is a myth. When some of the people knew that I was going to be talking to you today about Crime Stoppers, they said, oh, yeah, we don't like to ring up because they'll take our name, and if it's a major crime, next thing we'll be hauled in as a witness and we don't want to get involved. But that's not quite right, is it? Do you you don't keep contacts, or do you?
We don't record phone calls. We don't store IP addresses from online reports, and we strip metadata out of videos. So we're not looking for information about the person who makes the report. We're interested in the information about the crime and who committed it. So I want to be really clear about that. The Crime Stoppers was actually set up to give the community the confidence to come forward with information. So if you call us, you will get a call taker who will go through a series of questions with you. And it's up to you. If you want to leave your details, by all means, but you know, they can be passed on to law enforcement if you're happy for that to occur. But if you say, I don't want to leave my details, well, that's perfectly fine. If you're reporting online, and I think, you know, online people sit at home and they've got time to think about what they want to say. And to give you more confidence, stick to the who, what, when, where. So stick to the facts, basically. Yep. You don't need to put your details in. When you get to the end of the report, it gives you the option. It says, do you want to wish to remain anonymous, or do you wish to leave your details for us to forward on to police?
And I remember,
so the choice is yours.
Yeah, I remember talking to a policeman a few years ago, and he said very often they know who's done the crime, they've got an amount of evidence against them, but they just need that extra bit. And so the person that comes to Crime Stoppers, just even if it's only a small bit, could be just the bit that pushes the police over the line, couldn't they?
Absolutely. It can. The information from the public has helped enormously over the years, and really shouldn't be underestimated. We don't say a lot about the success stories through Crime Stoppers, and that again comes back to protecting the people who have reported to us. So, you know, we talk about numbers in broad terms. You know, we've received 1.5 million reports, which is absolutely fabulous. Probably doesn't mean a lot to the public in terms of, other than the volume. But we cover an enormous range of crimes. And sometimes the information comes through to us is about a crime that nobody knew anything about, except the person who committed it, the victim, and whoever's got the information. So I think in 1987, when Crime Stoppers was first launched, they looked at reenactments of crime. I'm not sure if you remember those, but they they did reenactments. So sometimes police members would volunteer. It's quite funny now. I've met superintendents and the like here who've actually been participants in those reenactments.
The crooks.
Yeah. And I think they look like they were, you know, quite happy to take a break from their normal work. And, you know, one comes to mind particularly that was a reenactment of a bank robbery, and obviously very serious crime, so I don't want to downplay that. But you can see that, you know, one of them jumps the counter in the bank. I thought that's a very fit person who's able to jump that bank counter as quickly as he did. And it was a police member. So, but in those days it was reenactments because we didn't have the CCTV capability that we have now. So that went on for a number of years. And over the years we've evolved to, we share information with the public about crimes that have occurred. And we ask for information about those crimes. And that might be CCTV footage. It might be a photo image, might just be some information that whatever we can share with the public, we will, to say, can you give us that information? And police will do the same thing. So police can refer people into Crime Stoppers and generally will do that when they're looking for information. But we're now at the point where people, instead of doing those reenactments, we receive footage from the public. They can upload it to our reporting platform at crimestoppersvic.com.au, and they share all sorts of footage with us.
Oh, great.
And we strip the metadata out of that footage to make sure that we protect the people who gave it to us.
Terrific. Stella, I've got to take a break in a moment, but I just got to ask you this again on what we're talking about. The crime, the people at Crime Stoppers who take the initial call, they're not direct, they aren't police people, are they? They're not
police members. No, they're not police members. They are call takers who are trained, very well trained to work with the public to get information. Police members don't answer those phone calls. And there's a, you know, we want to give people the confidence to speak up. And I have a great deal of respect for the police, but sometimes they can be, you know, a little intimidating for people. So I think, it's easier to feel confident to have a chat with somebody who's not a police member sometimes.
And that's, I guess that's one of the points that I particularly wanted to get across, that people can come to you without any fear that they're going to wind up in a court case.
If they don't want to say who they are, and again, it's up to the person to decide. If they want to give their information, they can do that. So I don't want to say to people, don't ever do that, you'll never be asked. No. If you're asked for, you know, would you like to leave your details, it's entirely up to you. So we're after the information, not the information about you.
Stella, I've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing
we will, we will.
A big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
We will rock you.
Sing it out.
We will rock you.
Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes, gonna make you zombie someday. You got mud on your face, big disgrace. Somebody better put your bag into your place.
We will rock you.
I'm talking to Stella, who's the CEO of Crime Stoppers, and we're encouraging people to keep an eye out. It's been said you can't have a police car in every street or the end of every street, and we live in the street and we tend to know what's going on and what shouldn't be going on. Stella, I guess one of the things obviously you don't want is just neighbours have had a bit of a blue and one tries to dob the other one in and all that sort of rubbish, but what sort of level of evidence would you need if you suspected there was drug dealings going on in this park? Would you have to see it actually take place, or if it's happening often enough and you could give times, is that enough to report that?
Yeah, it can be. So I think you don't have to be 100% sure about your information either. So we don't expect the public to make determinations about the level of crime or whether it is actually a crime, and Crime Stoppers at the end of the day doesn't make that decision either. The police will determine whether there's enough in evidence there to actually establish that there has been a crime, and they will determine what action they take. So we don't control what action police take, but what we do is help them with information from the public. And when you come forward with information, it can be anything that you think is suspicious. So again, as you say, we're not looking for people who've got grievances against each other. That's not what this is about. This is about saying, well, something's occurred in my neighbourhood or in my workplace or wherever it happens to be, on the roads as well. We do a lot around high-risk road use. So footage there is always really helpful. So there are certain...
But I don't want to cut across your solid. Stella. But it's not only just a crime that's been committed by drugs or break-ins or anything. It can be high-risk on the roads as well.
Use. Yeah, absolutely. We do a lot around roads. So footage that comes to us, it's actually really helpful if it is footage, and we get a lot of dash cam footage. Yep. And I'm not talking so much about, you know, somebody annoyed me this morning, they didn't put their indicator on or something. You know, things where there is risk on the road, where somebody's running red lights, speeding at excessive speeds or whatever information you've got. I mean, if there's something happening immediately and you need 000, of course they are the first place to go.
Yep.
But if you've got information, you've got dash cam footage, you're not quite sure what to do with it, Crime Stop is a great place to put it, because it actually helps particularly the road policing area of VicPol to say, you know, we might need a patrol out in that particular area, or this person, I mean, they can actually knock on your door with that footage and say, tell us about this.
Can they?
Yeah, they can. If they consider that the law has been broken, and again, that's not a determination that we make, that is a determination that's made by police, but they do. So we've actually run a campaign that was called You'll Never Know Who's Watching You, because it's not just about traffic light cameras and cameras that are detecting speeding, or even the mobile phone cameras they have out now. It can be the public information. And what we find is people actually want the roads to be safe.
Absolutely.
They want to travel on safe roads, and they don't like it when somebody's behaving really badly on the roads.
Yeah, where I live, there's a crossroad just down the road, and there used to be a lady at 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock, had come out of her street and go racing straight down through this crossroads without looking. And during the winter, she could get away with it because you could look for headlights. But during summer, and obviously somebody in the street reported her, because the next thing I saw, the police were down there one day and they nabbed her. Well, I mean, we all want to be safe.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about here. And where you've got drugged or disqualified drivers that are actually out there driving and somebody knows that they're doing that, then, you know, is it safe for those people to be on the roads? I always think, you know, if it was one of my family who was driving in the opposite direction, how comfortable would I be knowing that that person was coming at them on the roads? So I think that's what motivates a lot of people to report that information to Crime Stoppers. And we deal with a lot of information about high-risk road use.
Well, I think if we've done nothing else so far today, we've knocked down a couple of myths why people don't want to report. And the other thing is, I had no idea that you could report road usage. I just thought it was break-ins and drug dealing and that sort of stuff.
Oh, I can tell you, Alan, I've been here 5 years. We were chatting about that off air, but 5 years, and I'm constantly amazed at the things that come to Crime Stoppers. It can be anything. Anything and everything.
Stella, and, I've got to take a quick break. Could you have a quick think, and the very first thing we'll do when we come back, the funniest thing that you've ever had reported?
Oh, okay.
I'll give you a couple of minutes to
have to think
come
about
up with
that.
We're talking to Stella, who happens to be the CEO of Crime Stoppers. First of all, Stella, thank you for making your time available to us today, because it's an hour out of your day is a fair bit, but we really wanted to cover quite a bit about Crime Stoppers, and particularly knocking down a few of these myths that are floating around. Parcel theft. We see some of this on TV, you know, where people follow the behind when they're doing deliveries and knock their stuff off. Is there any way that we can protect ourselves, or if we've got CCTV, pass it on to Crime Stoppers?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's a couple of things in that. The way to protect your parcels, really, and it is your money at the end of the day. You've spent hard-earned money and time. You've invested time to make a decision about, you know, what you're going to purchase online. So you just need to spend a little bit of time, if you can, working out where that parcel is actually going to go. So it's just that bit of extra time. There are free parcel lockers that are available through Australia Post, and there are a number of those parcel lockers at convenience stores and so forth as well. So if you can get your parcel delivered there, that would be great.
Yep.
Make sure you request a signature on delivery, and if you're not home, then it can be taken to the post office or another location. Try to schedule deliveries when you know you'll be home, if that's possible.
Yep.
And if you're going to be away, redirect your parcels or your post to the local post office, or if you've got a trusted neighbour, ask them to collect them for you. Please make sure you give clear instructions to the delivery driver, and make sure that you've left instructions around a signature. If you have to sign for that parcel, someone has to sign for it. That's great. If you've got cameras, you can share that footage with us. And if your parcel's gone missing, try and reach out to the company you bought it from. If you've got it through Australia Post, you can speak to Australia Post about what options are available for you. I think they offer, they typically offer around $100 or up to $100 in compensation. And you can buy extra cover for extra insurance cover for your parcels if you're buying really expensive items.
It's a pretty low act, isn't it, to be doing this? I mean, people, as you say, are using their hard-earned money in the times when times are tough, and then some goose comes along and knocks them off.
Yeah, I think in my job I've come to understand that, you know, people do all sorts of unfortunate things, but a parcel theft it's an opportunistic crime. That's really what it is. You've left them an opportunity and they've taken it. It doesn't make them good people. What they're doing is wrong.
Yep.
And it's terrible that it's happening to people. But I think we can do something about making sure that we don't create the opportunity. And I know people would say to me, you know, dude, you can't blame the victim. I'm not blaming the victim.
Yep.
All I'm saying is we don't live in a perfect world. People are feeling cost of living pressures at the moment. And, you know, sometimes people just don't do the right thing. So don't create the opportunity for them in the first place if you can help it.
Now, I did warn you, Stella, the funniest report that you've had.
Well, I think, and I have to be careful about funny,
yep,
because, you know, I have a bit of a dark sense of humour after several years of doing this work. But I do have to remember that it's not funny for the people that it happens,
yep,
to. So, I don't ever take crime happening to people as, you know, lightheartedly.
Yep.
But I do remember in my early days here, and this is more about lessons for me, I've certainly learnt a lot in this job. And I remember having a conversation with somebody about a two-tooth being stolen. And I had no idea what that was. And a conversation about the price of a two-tooth compared to the price of a lamb. And I thought, this person's gone crazy. I don't know what a two-tooth is. So I think that was probably one of the earliest reports I've had. Needless to say, I now know the difference between a two-tooth and a lamb. Not in great detail, but enough to understand that, you know, the two-tooth, I believe, is less valuable. But still stolen and still had an impact on somebody out there. I think we've seen some other ones where, you know, the person's being painted up in blue, looking a bit like a Smurf. You know, those sorts of things where you just look at it and think to yourself, why would somebody do that? But in all seriousness, I think crime is, you know, people are scared of what's happening. They're fearful.
Absolutely.
Of the aggravated burglaries and finding someone in their home. I would say I never blame the victim, but I think we can create less opportunities for people. And locking doors is a big one of those. If you lock your doors and windows, that's an enormous help.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was at only a few weeks ago, where I was talking to a policeman after the end, and he was a detective. He said, you wouldn't believe 60% of the burglaries are people coming in through unlocked doors and windows.
Yeah, so I talk about opportunistic crime, and again, not being done by people who have your best intentions at heart.
No.
They're not interested in looking after you. They're interested in what they can get. And often with aggravated burglaries, and this is not always the case, but often with aggravated burglaries, which is where somebody enters a property with the intent to steal, when there's someone in the house or a reasonable expectation that there would be someone in the house. So those aggravated burglaries, the ones that have been committed by young people now, they're searching for car keys and anything they can easily get their hands on.
Yep.
Quite often they're not out to harm the person. They want to get in and get out as fast as they can.
Yep.
So, you know, I say to people, you can get another car. I'm not dismissing the value of your car or any of those things. All I'm saying is don't put yourself in harm's way if it's keys and you get to a point where somebody, you feel threatened over a set of keys in your car, please, please don't get into a battle with these people because it's not worth it. Yeah, well, I think, you know, that's a really hard thing to say because you automatically want to defend your own property. But where there's a risk to your life or injury to you, that to me is actually more important. Protecting you is the most important thing that you can do in those circumstances.
Sounds good. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
Stella, I need to take a quick break and I want you to listen to this first little promo I'm going to play. I just want to know whether that's something that Crime Stoppers can get involved. So I'll be back to you in a couple of minutes.
Sure.
If you just listen to this, please.
If someone tells you they are not safe at home, it can be hard to know what to do. It takes a lot of courage to tell someone about abuse. Listen to them, believe them, and take the abuse seriously. Remember, the violence is not their fault. Thank them for trusting you. Tell them they have choices and offer to help them figure out what to do next. They might not be ready to take action straight away. They might choose to stay, or they may need more time to make the right plan for them. It's important to respect their decisions. Let them know about specialist family violence services who can offer professional support. If someone is in immediate danger, offer to call 000 for them. It is hard to know someone you care about is not safe at home. The most important thing you can do is let them know you are there to support them. Find out more about safe ways to respond at ask.areyousafeathome.org.au.
FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Stella, I played that promotion about violence, family violence. Particularly, I wanted to just find out a little bit from you, but I know that if family violence is occurring in the home right there and then, the only way to do that is 000, and I know the police put that on very high. You know, the first cars available will be there. If you believe that's going on in a house beside you or, you know, close by, is that something that you can report through Crime Stoppers as well?
You can. You can report information about family violence, but we're always really careful to encourage people to use 000 for family violence matters. And the reason for that is the risk that's associated with family violence. Yep. And the response, the response that police put on family violence incidents. So what we don't want is to be sitting on any information that, you know, that could affect somebody who needs help now. But, you know, if you're not going to 000 and you're not reporting it to anybody, then I'd encourage you to come forward with that information because, you know, people don't want to get involved. I understand that. They often feel like it's none of their business. They feel very uncomfortable about it. But the need to protect people is actually really, really important. We've produced a number of podcasts on a range of different crimes, and we have a couple on our website that that feature the Assistant Commissioner for Family Violence, Lauren Calloway, and she talks about coercive control and the changing face of family violence, and shares some insights around desire to help people who may be in a toxic relationship, and talks about how family violence has evolved over time to incorporate a whole range of activities that we wouldn't have thought of in the past. And some of that comes down to, you know, the tracking devices that people use that wouldn't have been available years ago, the technology that they're using, all of those sorts of things. That's family violence is evolving to include those things, but the risk is always there. Yep. So there's a series of podcasts on our website. We also do one, we have one there on elder abuse. We're very, very keen to make sure that the older people in our society are protected. That particular podcast features a person from Senior Rights Victoria, Senior Sergeant and Detective Senior Sergeant from Victoria Police, Dr. Chesterman from the Office of the Public Advocate, and a representative from the Law Institute of Victoria, just talking about elder abuse and the issues associated with it.
No, you keep going. Sorry, I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah, look, it's actually really important that we recognise that there is abuse against all sorts of people in the community, and that we find ways to help them. And just understanding what some of the issues are, how you can support somebody is actually really, really important because, you know, they need support, but you can't force them into a position that you think they should be in either. So just getting some advice around that, but always to 000 if you think there's a threat to anybody. 000 is the place to go with family violence reports.
And the police have, I shouldn't say improved, but go back 20 years ago, it wasn't as high a priority with the police as what it was these days either, is it?
Well, they have a family violence command now, so that tells you how seriously they take it. And Assistant Commissioner Calloway does an amazing job. She's really, really doing her best to help people understand some of the issues around family violence and the response that's required. And I think if people are in need of help, if they need support, Safe Steps is a 24-hour response service, and the Orange Door is the other service that can help victims. So either of those services, if you need help, if you need support as a victim of family violence, they are the services that can assist you. But if you need police, then 000 really is the place to go.
All right, I need to take one quick break. When we come back, we'll just talk briefly about home security, what people can do, and also get you to give out your website too, please, Stella, so that people can look up some of these. We'll be back very shortly.
Terrific. Thanks, Alan.
And that was Linda Ronstadt, Silver Threads and Gold Needles. It's terrible what's happened to her. She's got one of these, I think, muscular diseases, can't sing anymore. And I think it's just not very nice for her. And, of course, that's the sort of music you'll hear on every second Sunday between 12 and 3, Music Memories and More. And, of course, every Sunday night between 6 and 8 p.m. with a rock and roll hit parade. But anyway, we're talking to Stella from Crime Stoppers. Stella, we briefly touched on home security. I know a lot of people are really frightened in their homes, which they shouldn't be. It should be a place where they're happy. What, from Crime Stoppers' point of view, apart, well, let's say if someone's breaking the door, you don't ring Crime Stoppers, you ring 000. But apart from that, you broached on it before, what can people do to try and keep their house a bit safer?
Sure, Alan, there are a number of things they can do, and I will make that point again, if that's okay. If somebody is coming into your home, if you're fearful that somebody's outside trying to break into your home or they're in your home, then 000 is absolutely the place to go. Please don't go outside at 2 o'clock in the morning to, you know, respond to a noise that's out there.
Yep.
If you're concerned about anybody being out there, call 000. The police are experts in this space and they will come and help you. But please don't go out and try and take somebody on yourself, because it's just not worth the risk. Yep. But in terms of your home, locking the door, I know it sounds really strange, but locking the door is something a lot of people don't do, and it would be really, really helpful if they did do it. There are people who take the view that, you know, this is my home and I shouldn't have to. We don't live in a perfect world, and there are people who behave badly. So while that's going on, and I don't see it ever changing, but while that's going on, you can actually really help yourself by locking that door. Yep. Keep your windows secured. If you've got locks and alarms, use them. Obviously, don't deadlock yourself into the house. Please don't do that. Yep. There's a risk with that as well. But anything that you can do to keep your property secure is terrific and helpful to you and to police, obviously. Make sure that any of the entry points are secured, so windows, doors, and, you know, I don't know what else you might have into your house, but anything that you can secure, if you can secure it, that would be terrific. If you have an alarm system, then activate it. If you've got security lighting, that's really helpful too. And don't forget to lock gates and sheds and garages for that added layer of protection. Yep. And if you can trim trees and shrubs away, you know, that enhance the visibility around your property, that's really helpful too. You don't give someone somewhere to hide.
Yep.
And conceal your valuables and mobile devices away from windows and prying eyes.
And Stella, I guess one of the other things too, pardon me, that there seems to be a bit of a rise in, is people stealing dogs.
Which is always disturbing, isn't it, really? I think the price of dogs these days has probably made them a little more appealing, but that's devastating. That's basically having a member of your family stolen from you, so it's pretty horrendous.
Yeah.
And if there's any information, if anyone's got information about that, they can share that with Crime Stoppers. We would always say anything you can do to protect yourself is really helpful. If you're going away, you can ask your neighbours, if you've got neighbours you trust, ask them to keep an eye on the property, redirect your mail or any newspapers, avoid having deliveries come to the property. Anything that gives a sign that the property is vacant, you want to avoid those signs if you can, so that, you know, thieves who are coming along looking for something to steal don't come to your house.
Yeah, they go next door. Push them off next door.
Next door either. I don't want to do that. But I can only say to you, those are the things you can do to keep your own property safer. And again, it comes back to that opportunistic crime. I think the Chief Commissioner spoke a little while ago about the youths that are breaking into homes, and he was saying they walk down the street and they try the locks on the doors and they wait until they find one that's open. So if you don't want that to be you, then lock the door and call 000 if you need assistance. If you have information about people who are committing those crimes, or you've got footage that you can share, and sometimes you might think, oh, it didn't happen to me, these people were acting, you know, suspiciously, but not really my problem. Well, it might actually help place somebody in the neighbourhood when a crime's occurred.
Sure, yeah.
To one of your neighbours. And it can also help police to understand where they might need increased patrols. You know, it's that sort of thing. It's just about helping to keep the whole community safe. Might not be you, but you can help your neighbours as well in that way.
Stella, could I just ask you, and I guess if you've got any doubts about something, it's probably better to bowl it up to Crime Stoppers and let them decide whether it's useless information or whether it's something that could be acted on, isn't it, rather than us make a decision.
Absolutely. And please don't think you'd be the only person doing that. You know, we're dealing with a report every 5 minutes of every day, 365 days a year. Yeah. So you would not be the only person who's giving us information. We can't make a decision about what police will or won't act upon. And sometimes it's information. They have to build up enough information to actually work out, you know, the level of crime and what's occurring. But anything you've got that you can share with us that helps keep the community safer is a good thing for you to be doing.
Stella, we promised the website. Could you give us the website and also the phone number and give it a couple of times, please, so that people could write them down?
Absolutely. Our website is crimestoppersvic.com.au. That's crimestoppersvic.com.au. And our phone number is 1-800-333-000. That's 1-800-333-000.
Yeah, and as I say, I guess it's best, well, to if there is some information that you think you've got, I guess you can always add to it later on or make another report. It's better off for rather than people saying, what I saw might not be right. I mean, we don't want silly calls, but I guess you want calls where people genuinely think something could have happened, and then it's up to Crime Stoppers to look through that and decide, you know, what really should be acted on is or sent to the police for them to act on.
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, if you're happy to share it with us, we're happy to have it. And I think sometimes you can think, oh, that's meaningless, it doesn't mean anything. But if you can put a car, for example, in a street at a certain time that a crime occurred somewhere else that you may know nothing about, then that helps police to actually place the vehicle at least and potentially the criminals in that location at that time. So people know their neighbourhood, so I think they know what's usual and unusual. Yep. You know, if I take a drug house, for example, you know, windows that are blacked out, people coming and going at all hours, you know, no engagement with those neighbours necessarily, you know, they know what's going on. So if they've got information, you know, great place to put it is at Crime Stoppers.
And I guess a car parked in a park every night or every second night between 10 and 12 in pitch black, you can, it'd probably be worthwhile mentioning it to Crime Stoppers, wouldn't it?
It would be, yes.
Stella, look, it's been terrific to have you along. Let's just run past those stats. So you're saying you've had 1.5 million, but you're saying you get a call every how many? And, well, first of all, it is manned 24 hours a day, is it?
So the online service is available 24 hours a day.
Yep.
The phone service operates between 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. at night.
Yep.
So if you've got any information to share with us, about 65% of what we do now comes online.
Yep.
And you know, you can do that in your own time, or you can give us a call and have a chat to one of the call takers. But yes, every 5 minutes of every day we're taking a report from a member of the public in Victoria.
From your point of view, Stella, sitting back and, well, not so sitting back, I didn't mean that that you're not doing anything. That wasn't, but what I meant, I guess, was an overview. It must be fascinating for you, and I'm not going to ask you about them, to see information come in and then all of a sudden, next thing in the paper, a week, a fortnight, a month later, there's this massive arrest or whatever, or a crime's put before the courts that wouldn't have necessarily gone there if it hadn't have been for Crime Stoppers.
Yes, it is fascinating, but we don't tell anybody about them because, again, it comes back to protecting the people who came to Crime Stoppers. So we're not interested in taking the glory for it. And I think, you know, police make those arrests at the end of the day. The public provide the information. So they're the people who should take credit for the for that information and for that outcome. We are a means to an end. We're here to give people confidence to come forward. And we like to sit quietly in the background because our primary concern is protecting the people who come to us.
And that's fair enough too. And I'm glad we've sort of stressed that a little bit because I know there has been a, well, it's been mentioned to me. So if they've mentioned to me that there will be people that were concerned that it was going to, they were going to get wound up in the middle of a drug deal or something and that they just didn't want to get caught up in.
They absolutely do not need to tell us who they are. And I want to be really clear about that. Just stick to the basic facts. No need to know who you are, where you live, what you do. We don't need any of that.
Stella, look, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. And we will talk to you again probably later in the year, towards the end of the year, just to find out what a bit of an update. But in the interim, 1800 333 000. Am I right?
Correct.
And Crime Stoppers Vic. Is it crimestoppers.vic or Crime Stoppers Vic?
No, crimestoppersvic.com.au.
All right, thanks, Stella. I've got to go. The news is upon
us. Fantastic.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, bye.